Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite you to call right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We'd love to hear from you. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today is a special day on the Jewish calendar. It's Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. And I think it's a day that we need to talk about and what it meant to the Jewish people and how Christ has become the fulfillment of that through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a very interesting thing when you read the book of Hebrews, for example, Hebrews chapter 10. The writer says that the law is a shadow of the things that are coming, not the realities themselves. So this Day of Atonement, this special one time of the year sacrifice that the high priest made on behalf of the people, was actually pointing forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews compares and contrasts those two sacrifices, and it's quite insightful, isn't it, Andrew and Richard, as to, you know, what those sacrifices of the old covenant were telling us and what this once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ is telling us.
Yeah, this Day of Atonement, I mean, it comes out of Leviticus chapter 16. You can kind of read the details there about it. And it's something that lasts literally one day, 24, 25 hours. And they're really, you know, getting into a lengthy confession of sins. A lot of people who don't celebrate, you know, a lot of Jewish people who don't celebrate all aspects or all holidays of Judaism, they will still gravitate towards celebrating this one, Bob, because it's really regarded as the most important one of all. And for us, it's a picture, it's a shadow, just as the law is in all of its entirety. It's a symbol, a picture, a shadow of what Christ did. And of course, the Day of Atonement in Judaism would come around once every year. And they would do it year after year, day after day, again and again, repeatedly, endlessly, the scripture says. And then it says that Jesus is our sacrifice once for all. So instead of saying all systems go for our forgiveness, now it's all systems no. We are shutting down all systems for forgiveness because Christ has done it all and there's no repeat needed. So the Day of Atonement, it was a repeated, ritual that got them a little more cleansing, a little more covering of sins until next year. But what we have in Christ is actually greater. We don't get forgiveness in portions. We don't get cleansing doled out from heaven in little bits. Instead, we are forgiven once and forever. And that's what makes the sacrifice of Christ better than the sacrifice of bulls and goats. But you know, guys, we all know this, that a lot of Christians, we don't operate that way. We end up saying, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And then we end up saying, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? And waiting for an answer from heaven, as if God is going to swoop down and polish us off with a little bit more cleansing this week. And when we do that, we're really having an old covenant mentality. Instead, we need to have a new covenant celebration that Jesus has forgiven us and cleansed us once for all.
And there's a couple of things about this this Day of Atonement that we learn as far as God is concerned and sin is concerned. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That was a lesson that was taught through this old covenant sacrifice. That was repeated, as you said, endlessly, year after year after year. And so Christ had to shed his blood. But as you said, he did it once and for all. So it's a done thing. Also, the forgiveness that they received in the old covenant was just temporary. It covered past sins. But as soon as that sacrifice was made, the sin started clicking off again. But with Christ, he covered sins, past, present, and future, and not only covered, but took them away. And that's one of the great pictures of that scapegoat.
Yes.
We use that word a lot in vocabulary today in some of our conversations. You know, when something goes wrong, we're looking for a scapegoat. Who can we pin the blame on? Well, it comes from that Day of Atonement. Uh-huh. There was a goat that was chosen to be the scapegoat. And once the other goat had been sacrificed, then the high priest would put some of the blood on the scapegoat and send it out into the wilderness. And that was symbolic of what Christ was going to do for us. And so today, as believers in Christ, we can say that our sins have been removed from us and sent away as far as the east is from the west. That's an infinite distance. It's, you know, they're so far removed, you don't even know that they were a part of you before that happened. So that's why this day is important for us to take a look at, so that we can see just the vastness and the bigness and the enormity and the value and worth of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And boy, when you see that, if your heart doesn't overflow with gratitude and thanksgiving, and if you don't get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, thank you, you are missing the message. This is one of the most essential truths that every Christian needs to know, to rest in, to be thankful for. This is where it starts. If you don't know that Christ has taken away your sins, if you don't know that you've received once for all forgiveness, you will struggle in your Christian life. You will question almost daily if God loves you. But come to grips with the finality of the cross, with the fact that Jesus finished his work, and I guarantee you the love of God will just start exploding inside of you, and you will know that you know that you know that God loves you.
That's the good news coming from Bay City Gospel, everybody. And thanks for joining us for this edition. Plenty of open lines right now. We want to hear from you. That toll-free number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to our friend Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I have two questions I wanted to ask you today. At the end of August, a coworker of mine died from cancer, and the first few hours after I found out what happened, it was so brutal because he was a Hindu, and I don't really know where he stood in relationship to the gospel, and I was beating myself up so, so hard for not doing enough to share the gospel with him. And, you know, Bob, how you were saying on Monday that when we communicate the gospel, it should have a sense of urgency to it. My first question is, how do we balance that sense of urgency in communicating the gospel with not beating ourselves up so hard and living in despair if we don't know about if someone accepted the gospel or not after they died?
Good question, Chris. And, you know, we can't save anyone, and I think that's an important thing for us to realize. I was at a pastor's event not too long ago, and the speaker of the event said, you know, we've had this incredible crusade, and, you know, 10,000 people came forward and professed faith in Jesus Christ. And he made a point of saying, I'm saying professed because I don't know if they were really converted. I don't know what the work of God was in their life. All I can do is proclaim the gospel and leave the results in his hands, because he alone has the power to save. So we have to do that. I mean, just present the good news about Jesus and leave the results of that in God's hands. Why, we, like I said, we can't save anyone. That's God's job. And we can just count on the promise that, you know, his word is not going to return void. So get it out there. Get the word out. Get the message out concerning Jesus and leave the results in his hands. And I think that gives you a sense of peace and a sense of purpose, that God used my lips to proclaim the good news about Jesus. And I think you can go to bed at night and say, Lord, thank you. How that's going to work and what's going to happen with that, that's your business. But just thank you so much that I could be a part of what you're doing in this world today. I know, Andrew, that's something that you've wrestled with in your own life, isn't it?
Yeah, before the broadcast even, we were talking about, you know, in my past, I felt such a burden and I felt such a guilt and such a pressure to be a world changer and to go out and proclaim the gospel, much like the early church, you know, door to door, street to street. I was doing this in Greece and Italy and throughout the eastern coast of the United States, from subway car to subway car in Washington, D.C. And, you know, all I can tell you is it's a life where all the pressure is on you, and it's not a life of faith. It's a life of action, but it's not an action that's motivated from confidence in Christ or a life that's motivated from a rest in Christ, because you lay your head on the pillow at night and there's always this thought of, I could have done more. I could have done more. I wonder if I did enough. I wonder if I've been dedicated and committed enough. And it ends up being a self-focus rather than a focus on the message itself and Christ, who is the author of it all. So it's very tempting. It's a tantalizing distraction to get into, how am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? Instead of really celebrating what Christ did, and then just letting kind of a joy and a peace just overflow in your life, and then just saying, God, you know, I'm available. If I talk to 0 people today or 100 people today or anywhere in between, I'm not setting an agenda here. I'm just available to you, and I know it'll be fun if it's from you. It'll be from my heart. It'll be from my life. It'll be inspired by you, so it'll be easy and light, and I'll even find joy and peace in it. And that was what I was missing, Chris. And, you know, now I would say I talk about Jesus as much as I did back then, but everything's different on the inside. And that's what matters, because anything else, anything other than the grace of God, will burn you out.
Yep, that's true. The other question I wanted to ask was about Acts 18:6. This is where Paul had preached the gospel to the Jews, but then they rejected him. And then he said, your blood is on your own heads. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. And he says, I am clean. One of the thoughts that entered my mind after I found out about my coworker's death is, oh no, his blood is on my head. I didn't do enough. What I wanted to ask you is, what is Paul really saying? Because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and I don't know if it's fair to say, okay, he's, God's going to hold Paul responsible for not doing enough. But so yeah, I wanted to ask, what is Paul really saying when he says, your blood is on your own head?
Yeah, well, Chris, I mean, my first thoughts on that are that, you know, he's saying, you guys have rejected, it says resisted and blasphemed, which, by the way, a side note here, people always wonder, you know, what's the unforgivable sin? What's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Well, again, we're seeing it here. Here's evidence that it is resisting, rejecting the gospel itself. That's the only unforgivable sin, is basically rejecting the gospel. So Christians can't commit that sin. Now, you know, back to the story of Acts 18 here, we've got Paul who's saying, you know, your blood is on your own hands, because you've been presented with a solution for your guilt and you've been presented with a solution for your sin, but you're rejecting that solution. So he's saying, look, I told you what I know and you've rejected it. So now I'm going to go to a new audience. I'm dusting my feet. I'm moving on. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine, so to speak. So you'll notice that Paul went to the Gentiles after that. But, you know, Chris, if you're saying, well, you know, are we supposed to have this guilty burden for every human out there? Well, Paul didn't just abandon the 12 people or 25 people that were standing there. He abandoned thousands of Jews and decided to go preach to the Gentiles. Now, I use that word abandoned lightly there. What I'm saying is, look, you know, Paul doesn't save anyone. Paul's not responsible for every human, and neither are you, and neither are we. All we can do is be available. And if something's not working and people are rejecting the message, then let's do a very practical thing. Let's move on to people who might be more accepting and might believe and might be saved.
Also, I'm going to interject something here. There's this great plan of God that is unfolding in the book of Acts, and he always had in mind to reach the Gentile nations. So his promise to Abraham way back in Genesis was, through your seed, Abraham, the world is going to be blessed. Well, if it's simply a Jewish gospel and is limited to Jewish people, then the world is going to reject. So in the wisdom of God, he brings a partial hardening, basically, to the Jewish people. And we see that taking place as Paul, one of their own, goes to them and said, hey, I've met the Messiah. I know who he is. And they get abusive, so abusive to Paul. That's part of the hardening, so that this gospel message could go to the Gentile world and we would have soft hearts to receive. Now, we're in that age of the Gentiles now, and at a point in time, this gospel is going to circle back to the Jewish people. And as Paul wrote in Romans 11:26, all of Israel will be saved. This is part of that wisdom of God that's being carried out in world events. So their abusiveness, their rejection of Christ meant our salvation, meant that we would be made soft and pliable to receive what they had rejected. So that's we're seeing that happen right here.
And Chris, you know, let me just say a couple more sentences here. You know, knowing you a little bit and knowing where you're coming from, you definitely analyze the scriptures pretty thoroughly. And when it says, I am clean, I think your question is Paul saying, oh, I'm clean now because I just preached to you, like I did my job, so I'm clean? I don't think so. I think he's saying, I'm clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ, but you guys are not clean because you're rejecting the blood of Christ, and so your sins are on your own hands. So it's not that Paul became clean by doing enough preaching. It's not like, oh, well, you know, it's not on me anymore now. That's not really what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm clean and I'm innocent in Christ, and I found the solution to my sins, but you guys are still dead in your sins.
Well, Chris, we appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, God bless you, my friend.
Open lines, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And Bob and Richard, we have a wonderful lineup of events coming up. Richard,
yes,
let our listeners know what's going on here.
Well, coming right up here in just a tad more than a week in Waxahachie, Texas, on October 4th. It's a Sunday. We're going to be at the Park Meadows Church. And all of the folks here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as far south as Waco, KBBW area, are welcome to attend that, and you know, just show up.
Not only welcome, but urge
to attend. We want you to attend. Yeah, go, come be a part of it.
Go to our website. It's on the events page. Mm-hmm. Look it up. Address. It's very easy to get to. It's just off the freeway, off of I-35. So it's easy to get to. We hope we see you there. It starts at 10 a.m. I believe.
Right.
On Sunday morning. WMCA Day of Boldness, WMCA in New York City is hosting that day. It's on Friday, October 23rd, and then we're going to be there. We're going to stay over through the 24th. We'll be at King's College on Saturday, the 24th, and you're invited, urged, as many of you as possible. Come see us at King's College. Again, the events page has the way to sign up. It'll cost you $20, I believe it is,
$30.
I'm sorry, I was wrong.
$30.
$30. How much was that again, Andrew? $30. And you'll get materials, a copy of Bob's book, study guide, all of that. And then again, the Simply Grace Tour in the Washington, D.C. area in Bristow, Virginia, Grace Community Church on November 7. Mm-hmm. Again, we urge as many of you as possibly can to show up at these events.
Absolutely. Circling back just for a moment to the Bay of Basic Gospel Day in Waxahachie, there will be food after the service that morning, and we want you to come and be a part of that. We would like to know you're coming so that we'll know, you know, the logistical details of this particular event, so we'll need to know how much food to prepare and have to have available. So if you could, we'd love for you to go online to that events page at basicgospel.net and register in advance so we'll know you are coming.
Well, let's go to Berkeley, California, and talk to Gina, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Gina.
Hi, good afternoon, I should say.
Well, and to you as well. Welcome to Basic Gospel. What's on your mind today?
Thank you. Well, it's actually been on my mind for a long time about the deity of Jesus Christ. I know that what I've read in the scriptures, Jesus Christ is God. And I have not quarrels or just conversations with family members and some people that I know that do not believe this. And even though I quote them John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, they still seem to think that how could Jesus be God if he even says Jesus himself does not know when the day of, you know, the world will end or Jesus will come again, you know. And can you help me out with that? I mean, that's what I have read and understood from the Word of God, the Bible, reading the Bible.
Well, Gina, you know, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was made for a little while lower than the angels, and that is when he took on humanity. And so I think that the beauty of the 33 years that Jesus Christ lived on this earth is that he lived in dependency on his Father, much like we now live in dependency on God. And so there are limitations there, human limitations. They were chosen by Christ. I mean, Christ chose to subject himself and humble himself and be made like us in human form. And so I think that's part of the answer. But you're right. You go back to John, whether it's John 6 or 8 or 10 or 15, I mean, you find that Jesus announced himself to be the light of the world and the good shepherd and the resurrection and the life and the way, the truth and the life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You said, you know, he said before Abraham, I am. That means that he existed before Abraham, and he's always existed. So he made all these claims about himself. And I think that, you know, for someone to come in and say, oh, look at Jesus' limited knowledge in this context. Well, yeah, I mean, that's walking by faith. And he chose to live that life of walking by faith so that then he could, you know, be empathetic with us as we walk by faith. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the sympathetic high priest that he is. But he knows what we're going through in this walk of faith, and that's why he chose to take on those limitations for a short while. Does that help?
That's what I think. That helps, and it reinforces what I do know of the Bible. And what I do tell my friends is that you need to be knowledgeable in the Word of God. You have to be knowledgeable, which means you have to read the Bible, and you have to ask, you know, God to help you understand what it is you're reading, because there are some things that I read and I don't understand what I just read. But to wait, and maybe days after, months after, years after, it's like, oh, now I got what he said in that scripture. So thank you so much. I know the truth, and I know that.
Well, Gina, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold. We have a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey. One of the chapters in that particular study guide is all about the deity of Christ. And this might be something that you can sit down with family members and say, hey, let's look at what the Bible actually says, and then you draw your own conclusion. So let me put you on hold. We'll send that to you, our compliments, and we sure appreciate your call today, Gina. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this one and who tuned in to listen. We hope that you heard something that had meaning in your life. I know sitting here and listening to the guys, it certainly had meaning in my life. And so I appreciate the fact that you've tuned in, and we'll do it again tomorrow. So what we'd like you to do is write down the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. And if you got that question, give us a call, okay? Till then, for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the staff, Bob Davisine, God bless you, and we will see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.